Lord, we just love you. We thank you. We thank you for this time that we can gather together and study your word. I pray that you'd minister to our hearts and our lives this morning, that you'd change us and transform us by your word, that your word would be the challenging force in our lives, that it would be the staying force in our lives. And God, we just give you all the praise, all the glory. Anoint this message. Let us hear the words that you have for us to hear this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, this is a difficult, well, I don't know if it's difficult. This is a challenging message. Because whenever you talk about, or whenever you begin to talk about faith, it is a difficult subject because, and I think it's a difficult subject because it doesn't always work, it seems like. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle in my faith to make it work. And to accomplish the purposes in my life or accomplish the purposes of God in my life, I sometimes struggle with all that. I struggle with that fact that, with exercising faith and moving by faith and those things. And then when you talk about it, here's the initial reaction whenever you talk usually about faith with, when people start talking, everyone always gets on the defensive usually. What, are you saying I ain't got no faith? Is that what you're saying now? You're saying I ain't got no faith? No, I'm not saying you don't have faith. I believe everyone's got faith, okay? I just think sometimes we can use a tune-up in how to exercise our faith, in how we can hear from God and walk stronger. How many would like to be able to have their prayers stronger, more faith-based, and accomplish more? How many would like that? I think we all would, wouldn't we? And so I hope this message will help you to understand those kind of prayers, to get your faith in action, okay? The title of the message is, To Those Needing, is the title of the message today, To Those Needing. We're going to start in James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. It says, But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Before anyone can have a steadfast faith for wisdom, for healing of the body, soul, mind, or for that matter, any promise of God, they must get rid of all uncertainty concerning God's will in the matter. Appropriating faith cannot go beyond one's knowledge of the revealed will of God. Our ability to appropriate faith cannot go beyond the knowledge of what God has already revealed to us. What we know is the will of God. Before attempting to exercise faith for anything, we need to know what the Scriptures plainly teach. For example, it is just as much God's will to heal the body as it is to heal the soul. It is only by knowing that God promises what we are seeking that all uncertainty is removed and a steadfast prayer is made possible. It's only by knowing what His will is that takes away all uncertainty in our life. When you know that God has said okay, then your prayers are different. God's promises are each one a revelation of what God is eager to do for us. Until we know what God's will is, there is nothing to base our faith on. It is important that the mind of those seeking a promise be renewed so as to be brought into harmony with the mind of God's with the mind of God revealed in the Bible. It is important for us, if we're seeking a promise from God, to renew our minds and to be brought into harmony with what God has said in His Word. If we're not in harmony with what God has said in His Word, or we're not sure what God has said in His Word, our results are going to be diminished. Faith for the appropriation of God's promise blessing are the result of knowing and acting on God's Word. Romans 10:17 says, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." The right mental attitude, or the renewed mind, makes steadfast faith possible for all of us. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Why? Why be transformed? Why have your mind transformed to the will of God, to the way of God? "That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It is our jobs not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the washing of the Word, by understanding what God's will is in the Word, so that we can prove it, so that we can go out and begin to pray the will of God into situations, into action, and into the world, so that it will prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. What is God's will? Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. It is a divine seed of life. The life we hope for is found in the Word." The life we hope for is found in the Word. And our faith is in that Word. Until a person seeking the promise is sure from God's Word that it is God's will to heal, to set them free, to provide, to bless them, they are trying to reap a harvest where there has been no seed planted. It would be impossible for the farmer to have faith for a harvest before he was sure the seed had been planted. It is not God's will that there shall be a harvest without the planting of the seed or the Word. It's not God's will for that. Let me read a scripture to you from Isaiah 55:11. I know you're all very familiar with it. It says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." This is the seed, the Word of God, will go forth from the mouth of God, and it will begin to minister, begin to touch, begin to transform a situation because it's gone forth. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Freedom from all our needs comes from knowing the truth, God's truth. God does nothing without His Word. For example, Psalms 107, verse 20, "He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." For each sick person, oppressed person, or person being held captive, to know that it is God's will to heal them and to set the captives free is the seed which must be planted in their mind and heart. And it is not planted until it is known and received and trusted. You cannot see anything begin to happen in anyone's life. You cannot be set free. You cannot be, if you're oppressed, you can't, the bounds can't be broken off you. A person that's sick can't be saved until the seed is planted in their minds, and that seed must be known and received and trusted in order for it to begin to grow. No sinner can become a Christian before he or she knows that it is God's will to save them. Romans 10:14 says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Because in that day, there wasn't as much of the written word out there for everyone to read. But when you're reading, you hear it. I don't know about you, but you know, when I read, I hear everything that I read. Mostly because I sub-vocalize, so I'm like, so I'm talking while I'm reading. If you put a mic up to my mouth really close, you can hear whatever I'm reading when I'm reading silently. It's not so silent. It is the Word of God, planted and watered and steadfastly trusted, which heals the body and the soul. The seed must remain planted and be kept watered before it can produce a harvest. For me to say, I believe the Lord is able to, well, I'll just fill in the blank here. For me to say, I believe that the Lord is able to heal me, before I know from God's word that God is willing to heal me, it's like a farmer saying, I believe God is able to give me a harvest without any seed being planted and watered. I mean, the farmer goes out and plants the seed, waters it, and then believes for the harvest because the seed has been planted. He knows the seed is in the ground. He just doesn't sit there and plow up his field and go, okay, God, it's all yours. Grow something. He puts the seed in the ground. God cannot save the soul of a man before the man himself knows God's will in the matter, because salvation and every promise is received by faith. That is, by trusting the known will of God. Being healed, for example, is being saved in the physical. Being healed is being saved in the physical. It's the same thing. How many are saved here this morning? Know Jesus as their Savior. And why are we saved? Why are we saved? Because we heard and believed that God's Word says so. That's why we're saved. We wouldn't be here this morning if we didn't believe that the gospel that was preached to us, or that was shared with us, or that we read in some pamphlet somewhere. We read the will of God for our lives. We read it and said, that is it. I believe it. I trust it. I know it's true. And we said, Jesus, come into my heart and change me forever. And we did it by faith. We just said, you know what? I believe that word is true, and I'm going to believe God. And that's how it is. That is the same word that declares our healing. It declares our financial blessing, our deliverance from every weapon of our enemy. It guarantees our peace, our comfort, our joy, our happiness. It fills the desires of our hearts. The Word of God. Praying for any need with faith, with the faith-destroying words, if it be thy will, is not planting the seed. It is destroying the seed. Now listen, I don't want you to think, oh, well, pastor says I can't pray if it be thy will. There are things that sometimes we don't know because they're not specifically laid out like when it comes to a job. We know that God has promised us a job and provision. God has made a way for our finances. God will make a way. If you're looking for a job, you can count on God to open the door for a job. And you can pray. You don't have to pray, Lord, if it be thy will that I have a job. Because you know it's God's will for you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So you know that. Okay? So looking for the job and knowing that the job will be made is not something you have to pray that way for. However, when you go to the interview and you walk into the job, you may say, Lord, here I am. Let me be your obedient servant. And if it be thy will for me to have this job, then you would open the door. See, so you could pray if it be, because you're not sure, is this the right job? God, I want to make sure this is the right job. But understand, it's not, Lord, if it be thy will you give me a job? That's not where you pray that. That's a faith destroying seed. That destroys the seed. There's nothing planted there. When it comes to our finances, we know God wants to bless our finances, but how does he want to do that? So as you begin to, maybe I'm supposed to buy this house as an investment and then rent it out. Lord, if it be thy will, show me that this is it. Do you see what I'm saying? As you begin to walk in those, there is a place for if it be thy will, but in a lot of situations when it comes to healing or certain specific promises that are laid out in the Bible, you don't have to guess about it. It's an absolute truth. Amen? Let me pick it up here. The prayer of faith, which heals the sick and sets us free, is to follow, not precede, the planting of the seed or the word upon which faith is based. Okay, so, well, even when you go to that area of Scripture, in James, where it's talking there, it talks about Elijah being a man of like faith, okay? And I've talked about this scripture before, but when you look at it, when Elijah prays, okay, in that situation, he prays. You can look it up. It's in Deuteronomy something or 11 something, or I don't know exactly where it is. I'd have to look in my footnotes in my Bible, but there I have it written on the side. But see, the reference they use for this area of scripture is, when Elijah came to the people and said, listen, because of your disobedience, the windows of heaven are going to close up and it shall not rain on the land, okay, until you guys repent, all right? Now that particular thing is in the Old Testament where God says, if you're going to be disobedient, I'll close up the windows of heaven and it shall not rain. So all Elijah did was quote what God had said was going to be a judgment. Then when they repented and he prayed that the windows of heaven would open and he saw a cloud, you know how the whole story goes, that he quoted again the promise of the prosperity of rain falling on the land and producing, he quoted that. So he was quoting the word of God. So here's the thing, is the word of God is the seed, okay? So when you take the word of God as the seed and you have it, for whatever your need is, and you take that word and you plant it in the ground, then the prayer of faith comes. You don't pray the prayer of faith not knowing what the promise is. You find the seed, you plant the seed, then you pray according to the seed. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. And let's see, where was I? Oh, I'm somewhere in here. Okay, there is a difference in praying what we think God wants to do and praying for what we know God has written down to do. Can you see where our faith would be different? Your faith will change, your prayers will change when you pray what God has written down to do and not what you think God wants to do. Okay? And so your prayers will begin to change when you know what God wants to do. What does God want to do? Okay? And when you find the scriptures or the word to and the promise for that, and when you plant that in the ground, then you pray the word of God into the situation. The seed goes in and begins to produce its fruit. It's the only way. Listen, otherwise you're just like the guy in James who's double-minded and doesn't know and is not going to receive anything from God. He's not going to receive the... It says if you lack wisdom there, pray and God will give it to you without doubting. I mean, if you want wisdom to know how to use the Word of God, then ask God. But know that the Bible is very clear about wisdom. You can get it by asking for it. And the Bible is very clear about how to get faith. How do you get more faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you hear more of the word of God, your faith will grow. Because you'll begin to understand what the will of God is. You'll begin to understand what his purpose is for every situation or the given situation you're in. And you'll begin to pray that way. Amen? In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Holy Spirit clearly defines the gospel, the word, as, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, first the Jew and then also for the Greek." All the gospel is for every person and for every nation. The gospel does not leave a person uncertain, in uncertainty, praying, "If it be thy will." Here, the gospel is clear. You believe in Jesus, you receive what he's done on the cross, you pray the prayer of faith, and you will be saved based on the word of God, on the word of what Christ has done. Amen? It doesn't leave you going, "Well, Lord, if it be thy will, please save me." How many of you, can you imagine coming forward to raise your hand? Please raise your hand if anyone wants to be saved. They come up and they say, "Okay, now listen, I'm not sure if it's God's will for you to be saved right now. So God, if it be your will, save this person." We would never pray that way. Never. But when it comes to financial blessing, when it comes to healing in someone's body, when it comes to these things, which God has clearly paid the price for, what do we pray? "Oh God, please heal sister so-and-so, if only if it's your will though, God, because I'm not really sure what your word says about this." Is that how we're supposed to pray? No. That's doubting. That's wondering. That's not putting any seed in the ground. I used to love, and my wife probably didn't like this, but I always make fun of preachers that back in the day, you know, when we were still teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we had it was like Sunday night, the last night, I mean, or whatever of the crusade. I mean, there was always a night designated as the Holy Ghost night. Whenever you went to camp, there was always the Holy Spirit night. I'm going to preach on the Holy Spirit and people are going to receive. So then the preacher would get up there and preach a powerful, faith-based, word-based message on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then he'd say, "If anyone wants to come forward and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, please begin to come forward right now. But hey, if you don't get it tonight," I go, "What are you doing? If it's not God's will for you to receive it tonight, come, we'll pray, but trust God, he may give it to you later." What did you just do? You preached this incredible message of faith. You got all these people wanting to receive the word, and then you back it up with a disclaimer. Like, "It might not work, but we'll give it our best shot." I'm like, oh my goodness, don't ever say that. If you know it, if you know what God's will is, don't doubt that that will is true. And when I preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I tell people right from the start, I say, "Listen, I'm going to preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and when I'm done teaching, I'm telling you right now that everyone in this room that wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit will receive it, and receive it instantly when we pray for you tonight. If you believe what the Word of God says, you will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost." I did that one time at a youth camp. And one of the youth pastor's wives was in the back. She still to this day can't believe what happened. She was sitting in the back and she was like, the look on her face was like, "Oh, what did you just say? We got 150 youth here and they're going to come forward and some of them are going to be brokenhearted because they didn't get it." That's what she's thinking back there. "Oh man, what are we going to do? I mean, I can't believe he said this. How could he say that? How could he just put it out there like that, like God is going to do it for everybody?" And so I preached my message. At the end of the message, I asked if anyone wanted to receive that. 40 kids came forward for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I gave some instruction, and then I just walked along and just, you know, tapped him on the head and prayed for him, and instantly they all received the baptism, all of them. I have never seen such a crazy, wild Pentecostal outpouring in any service ever. And so I was just like, I was sitting there going, and the girl is standing up because she's one of the worship people. She's standing up there and she's amazed. She puts her mic down and goes, you know, at the beginning of this service, I was going to kill you. She goes, but I've never seen anything like this. And I said, you know, here it is. It's what, listen, if you're going to have an expectancy, why not put your expectancy in the known will of God? Do you know what I'm saying? Why not? I mean, why not be radical in your faith in this area? Why not? I mean, I've often said this. I would rather get to heaven and God say to me, too many people were saved in your ministry. I didn't want to save all those people. Too many people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I did not want to baptize every one of those people in the Holy Spirit. Too many people were healed in your ministry. I did not want to heal all those people. But you put me on the spot and I had to heal them. I'd rather have him say that than look at me and say, why did you not do what my word said to do? Why did you not walk in faith and believe and trust me to do the miracles that I said I would do? I would much rather have him say you did too much than you did too little. And I have a serious doubt that you could ever do too much. Do you know what I'm saying? But I mean, I'd much rather have him say that, wouldn't you? You trusted me too much. You leaned on my word too much. Oh man, wouldn't that be something? Get up there and God say, man, you were just too faithful. I mean, you just believed everything I said. What's wrong with you? Oh, that would just be funny, wouldn't it? You should know that all of heaven is in agreement with you over your lost loved ones to be saved. You should know that it's God's will that none would perish. And so when you're praying for your loved ones, know that it is God's will for them to be saved, not your will. So your faith is not in your ability to see them saved, but your faith is in God's ability to accomplish His word and His purpose in their lives. It's His will. When you're praying over Aunt so-and-so or brother so-and-so or your sons and daughters, and you're praying over them and you're saying, God, this is not my will. You said that none would perish. And God, you said that you would bring them to the saving knowledge of you. So I commit them to you now because I know it's true. Seed is powerless unless it is planted. Many, instead of saying, pray for me, should first say, teach me God's word so that I can intellectually or intelligently cooperate with my recovery, with my being delivered, with my being set free, with my receiving the promise of God. What is your need today? And what does God's word say about it? Do you know? Do you know your need? First of all, if you know your need, what does God say about your need? Find the seed, find the word of God, find the mind of God, find the will of God in his word of whatever your situation is. Find that and then plant that in the ground. Put that in the soil and begin to water it and believe it and trust in it and stand strong in that. We must know what the benefits of Calvary are before we can appropriate them by faith. David specifies these benefits in Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all my benefits. Forget not all his benefits. And forgive who forgives all your iniquities. And David had some iniquities to be forgiven. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. These are promises that David knew. Our substitute bore our sins, bore our sicknesses, our financial problems, our family problems, our work problems, our every need, that we might be delivered from them. Jesus paid the price on Calvary. It amazes me how many people are willing to receive the salvation of Jesus and nothing else. And it was all accomplished at Calvary. That's why, you know, when I talk about where, you know, my thought is, at the Lord's table, I believe that Jesus entered into covenant with mankind at that very moment. He broke the bread, he drank the cup, he entered into covenant, and then he went and paid the sacrifice for that covenant. Okay? And I believe that communion is the establishment of the covenant between mankind. And listen, when you enter into covenant, if you study out covenant, I'm not making this up, when you study out covenant, the debt of one party becomes the debt of another, the debt of the other party becomes the, you mutually receive each other's debt, and you mutually receive each other's wealth. Okay, now, granted, our debt was huge and his debt was small. But we received his, whatever, he didn't have one, but we would have taken it on. It would have been our responsibility. Oh, I take that back. We do have a responsibility to talk about Jesus. That is our debt responsibility as believers, is to share the gospel. His debt was that he took away and wiped out all of our sins. And then, all of our finances became his finances, and all of his finances became our finances. And don't you want to be a part of all that? There's just so much to all this. Woo. Christ bearing our sins and everything else is surely a valid reason for us to trust him now from the deliverance of whatever we're going through. If you can trust him for your salvation, how come you can't? Why won't you trust him for every other area of your life? After being sufficiently enlightened by the promise of God, then by simply believing that our prayer is heard, before we have yet experienced the answer, as Jesus commanded in Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you shall have them. And between the time of definitely committing to God our prayers, and the completion of those prayers, we can and should learn one of the most valuable lessons in Christian life. The lesson is how to observe Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 35 and 36. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. So after you have done the will of God, which is after you have found the seed of the will of God and you have planted it, after you may receive the promise. Okay, so before you pray, instead of saying, pray for me, you're going to say, teach me, O God, your word. So you're going to go into the word of God, and you're going to get out your Strong's Concordance, or you're going to look in the back of your study Bible, and you're going to look up some things that are in what you want to talk about. I need healing, so I'm going to look up scriptures on healing, and I'm going to read some stuff on healing. I'm going to read some stuff on forgiveness. I'm going to read some stuff on the restoration of my family. I'm going to read some stuff. I'm going to look for stuff in these areas, when I need restoration, when I need this, when I need that, you're going to look to find the scriptures. You're going to read through those scriptures. You're going to study those scriptures. You're going to read them and read them and read them until they get into your heart and in your heart. So you believe in those scriptures and you're saying, okay, God, here's your promise. Here's your word. Then, when you have the seed, you read those scriptures and say, okay, God, here it is. Here's the seed. I'm planting it in the ground right now. And I'm praying right now that you hear my prayers and you answer them. And that, and here's the situation. You know it, but I'm telling it, here's the situation. And these are the scriptures that say that it's your will. It's your will to take care of these things and accomplish these purposes. So it, here's your will. I'm reminding you, and it, and the Bible clearly says to remind God of his promises. And so you remind God of his promises that are in his word. Okay, God, you said, you know, it wasn't a condition of me. It was a condition of you. Here's your will. I'm laying it in you, at your hands. Here it is at your feet. You lay it down, and then you don't lose confidence knowing what the Word of God says. You've done His will that you might receive the promise. Don't start digging it up to see if it's growing. Just put it in the ground. Let it sit there and keep watering that thing and keep believing God and standing on the truth. We can always bring to pass the fulfillment of any divine promise. It is God's will for every Christian to successfully practice Hebrews 6:11-12. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. Only divine promises can make our faith steadfast. Only the divine promises. Listen, read the story. Man, I'm telling you, don't just read about Abraham and Noah and those guys in Hebrews. Because all that tells you is the good stuff. Go back. Look in the Old Testament. Read the stories of David. Read the stories of Noah. Read the stories of Abraham. They struggled with their, but they did not lose their faith, their confidence in the things of God, and they received the promise. That's what the Bible's talking about here. Don't get sluggish. Keep going after the things of God. 1 John 1:9, repent your sins. He's faithful and just. Get back in there and keep fighting. Do not give up on the seed that you have planted for the promise of whatever it is in your life. Your healing, the restoration, whatever it is, your financial blessing, whatever it is, you keep standing on the promise of God. Let's look at a story really quickly, the story of Jonah, who was swallowed by a big fish. I'm almost done here. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 says this, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. Okay, so he's in the belly. He gets in the belly. Oh, no, I'm in the belly. And so he prays to God for his deliverance. Then after he prays, verse 5, the waters surround me, even to my soul. The deep closes around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Verse 7. When my soul fainted within. This is after he prayed. When my soul fainted within, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you and into your holy temple. He believed his prayer had been heard. After Jonah had prayed for mercy, he did not cast away his confidence because there was yet no visible proof his prayer had been answered. He prayed, he was still in the fish. It was getting worse even. The water was coming up around him. Weeds were wrapping around his head. I mean, his soul was beginning to be despaired. His physical body was beginning to be despaired. No, he held on fast to his confidence, and he added to it in advance the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Jonah 2:9. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And then the fish put him up on the shore. He stayed with his prayer. He stayed with it. He didn't give up on it. He had the promise of God. He knew the salvation of God was in the Lord. He knew what the, and then God, once he gets up on the shore, God repeats the prophecy, go to Nineveh. And guess where Jonah went? Amen. In Hebrews 13:15, the Holy Spirit commands us all to do this continually. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. God's promises work their wonders while we see and act on eternal realities. Let me read that again. God's promises work their wonders while we see and act on eternal realities, on his promises, on his faithfulness, on who God is. All those things, when you begin to meditate on the things of God, there's a scripture that says, magnify the Lord thy God. It never says, magnify thy problems. It says, magnify God. You know why? Because if God is this big and you're not magnifying, I mean, take out the magnifying glass. God is huge. Problems little. Amen? Magnify God. And refuse to be affected by temporal things to the contrary. This life is temporary. All the things, all the trappings that are temporary. Stay focused on eternal, the things of God. God will always, always fulfills his promises when he gets the right cooperation from us. When we're cooperating with his word. When you and I know what the will of God is, our faith will be stronger. It will be more powerful. Because we know God's written it down. Look, it's right here. I'm just quoting this. I'm not making suggestions to God. God, I have an idea. What do you think about saving people? What do you think about healing people, God? Maybe we should try that today. I'm not making a suggestion to God. I can go to God and say, God, I know it's your will to save the lost. I know it's your will to heal the sick. I know it's your will to set the captive free. I know it's your will to restore things. Because you've given me the ministry of reconciliation. Let's close with this last scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. For the word of God, the seed, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to his eye, to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing. Woo. Seeing then that we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. It has nothing to do with you, except for that you go to him who is full of grace and mercy and get help. And his seed, his word, is so powerful that it will destroy the works of the enemy. All of them. Listen, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes to give life and life more abundantly. Our lives need to be abundant. And our faith needs to be strong in His Word. You want your prayers to the answers to your prayers to increase. You want the power of your prayers to be more powerful. Find the seed, plant it, and pray the seed of God. And you will see greater things begin to happen, even greater than what Christ did while He was here on earth. Amen? Lord, we just love You and we thank You. We thank You for this time that we can gather together and study Your Word. I pray, Lord, that You would minister to every person in this place, that our faith would increase by Your Word, Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you'll slip up your hand, we'll pray with you. We don't want to miss an opportunity to pray with you. Amen. Amen. Lord, I just pray for everybody here. Bless them, be with them, strengthen them, let them go, whatever their need is this week, that they would go and they would search out the Scriptures and find what You have, what Your will, what Your mind is on this, O God. And then they would renew their mind to Your mind. They would come into agreement with Your mind, with Your Word, with Your will, and then begin to see the enemy push back and the destruction of the enemy in their lives. God, we just give You praise, we give You glory, we thank You for this opportunity. Be with us as we worship You some more. God, we just give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen.